Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Felt like I went a good 4 seconds on that. Four or five.
Your sense of time is disastrous.
Yeah.
Fucking disastrous.
Yeah, you know who's got to live with it? You.
Me.
That's right. Oh. That's right. You're all in here in hell with me on the internet's only college football podcast. I'm Spencer Hall. Voice you heard there was our guest, the dulcet tones of one Ryan Nanny. Then shortly thereafter, joining in the mockery of yours truly, an innocent soul, is our other fellow guest, Holly Anderson.
I am like 30 minutes removed from squirting you in the face with a kitchen sprayer like an angry cat because you would not stop laughing at the Tennessee football program.
I'd do it
and
again.
I will do it again.
Yeah, and I'd do it again. You see okay. How this? No one learns or improves. No one learns or improves.
We are currently listening our way through the back catalog of the Fullcast for a project that we will explain to all y'all later. And we've arrived at 2016, and I have a lot of anger.
How's 2020 doing in that department?
2020 is great because I quit that poison.
Anger?
I took advice from Bo, and I do not consume Tennessee football. I'm happy.
Out there in the ether, believe somewhere with his loyal subjects, the cicadas, I believe there is my co-host, Jason Kirk, somewhere out there.
I'm back in the ether.
Oh, you're back in the ether. Nice.
Is what I'm gathering. No, last week I left the ether, and now you have placed me within it. So I'm broadcasting from the ether.
He's the ether bunny.
Big old can of it. Just open in the garage.
Now, Spencer, you said nobody learns or ever adjusts or changes. We have one example from 2020 of someone learning something, which is the Navy football program.
Yeah.
Learning from a 52-point loss to BYU that blocking and tackling are essential to competing in football games. They had not practiced these things, which, that was one not so bad idea on how to handle player safety, but it just doesn't translate to actually doing games. Like, if you're going to practice that way, you kind of can't play football games. So they are going to adjust that going forward. Navy has learned things. That is it. No one else, just Navy.
They have. And speaking of, by the way, things that you thought would or wouldn't be true, right? You'd say, well, man, Navy's going to be ready. Was Navy ready? Navy was not ready. Navy found out that tackling dummies or bags, not exactly a substitute for actual football practice, which I feel like we're all going to take the wrong lesson from this.
Definitely.
Yeah, that coaches who really love contact will say, well, look, Navy's really good. They're disciplined. That Ken Niumatalolo, he knows what he's doing, which he does. However, in an effort to be safe, they said, let's just go ahead and minimize contact between players. And they go out and they get housed by a bunch of, 25-year-old BYU players who are mad about, their kids and everything else that are a concern for BYU players that may not be a concern for most other college football players. So they just go take it out and practice on each other in Utah because what else is there to do in Provo?
My favorite part is how we Army played on Saturday and just pasted Middle Tennessee State. Just like did the thing that when we watch Army or Navy play and we don't have a dog in the fight, we're like, that's what I would like to see. I would like to see the triple option, the scrappy triple option undersized team just like slowly Sarlacc pit digest this other team. I would like to see like the erosion of another football team. And then we said, well, Army and Navy are basically the same team, right? They're both service academies and they both run the triple. Therefore, Navy should do that to BYU. And like, we just sort of ignored that Army and Navy are different teams. And watching the Navy game, I was like, oh, right. Navy is starting this very weird season having just lost one of like the best three quarterbacks in program history, and to be a great quarterback at Navy is like to be on a very talented list. But like, Malcolm Perry doesn't play for Navy anymore. Oh, right. That proves to be a problem. All the other stuff matters too, but there was just this like weird whiplash where it was like, well, Army did this good thing and the armed forces are all basically the same, so therefore Navy's going to do the exact same thing, even though it never works that way.
This is how we got Space Force.
Oh man, Space Force is going to be so, it's going to be good when Space Force still runs a ground-based offense.
When they run the triple option, the triple passing option.
I think they're running the Maryland Eye.
I was going to say, where is the Space Coast Academy going to be? But then I realized it's just going to be Orlando. And oh man, UCF's going to be overshadowed again.
Wow.
Wow.
That's Ryan when, said it, that's not when, me.
I actually prefer fart. I actually prefer that the Jacksonville Jaguars become Space Force University. Like
their mascot, the Space Ghost.
Yeah. And just just become like a pro football team that is also a college.
So can we call them the Space Force Jaguars?
Yes.
And Jackson DeVille, he gets an astronaut helmet. Just everything stays the same. Correct. They don't even leave Jacksonville.
Correct.
Jacksonville like develops a spaceport.
That's right. They're still an NFL team. They somehow play college games.
Jackson DeVille becomes the ambassador to Russia. Kidding me? That's how this works.
Jackson DeVille is the ambassador to Mars.
That's the best part is I know if the current president were involved in the actual setup of the Space Force football team, oh God, it would be every horrible idea from 1986. Bill Parcells, he's going to be the coach. He's 79,000 years old. But
sign OJ.
Yeah, be like, we're signing Belichick. Who'd you get? My good friend Rich Kotite. He's dead.
Well, you're signing perfect Belichick as job. Like assistant. Belichick's like assistant cornerbacks coach.
Yeah,
that's where you want him.
His retirement gig. Come on down to Jacksonville. Who doesn't want to retire to Jacksonville? Oh. Crickets.
Actual crickets.
Thank you. I have two other things that we thought would definitely be true that turned out not to be true, because there is actually an article in Yahoo right now bearing this headline that is but 19 hours old, and it says that one upside for coaches this year, school's probably too broke to fire anybody. It's a guess. It's a pretty good guess. How accurate is that? When well, it's 0-1. This was on Yahoo. How is that working now? Well, we're 0-1. Because Ole Miss said, yeah, financial sense, hell with that.
Nope.
We're going to fire our coach after week one.
We're going with a younger
didn't.
Miss.
No, they didn't.
Did I say it again?
Not Ole Miss.
Southern Miss.
Not Ole Miss.
Ole Miss has fired their coach. Breaking news.
I mean, that is not a bad guess by Spencer. Like, if you say, Spencer, you say Ole Miss has fired its coach, we might be right by the time this comes out. You never know.
Yeah, statistically, that's not a bad guess.
Really not. Lane Kiffin's there. Come on.
Hey, you're good. Very good.
So
proud of you.
Southern Miss fired their coach because, we're not really sure exactly why.
He's a shitbird.
Generally speaking, yes.
Yeah.
The reputation, not exactly there. And not exactly, I think anybody who's had experience with that dude would not necessarily be surprised. But yeah.
Why not?
Why didn't they fire him before the game? Like, that's what I want to know, because they probably didn't like him to start. If you fire somebody after one game, why not just go ahead and put the interim in charge? If you're already leaning that way, because it wasn't like they came into that game and said, yeah, we're feeling really good about him. Oh, dear. Four quarters of football completely undid our positive opinion of this man.
Well, I mean, when you come in as a 2-touchdown favorite and you lose by 2 touchdowns, that could shift things just, you know, that one last percent.
It does it shift it that much?
It's not like you can be partially fired. You're either, you know, you're either there or you're not. And if it's just that one extra nudge is all it takes in the form of the South Alabama Jaguars.
Yeah, being fired is a binary state. I just remain con- confused and baffled as to why they hired him in the first place.
Jay Hobson, gone after a week.
The only thought I ever had about him was like, what was it, like 4 years ago they hired him? Something like that. That it is sad that just about the only time in recent memory an HBCU coach is hired by an FBS team, it happens to be a white coach.
Seriously.
It's just lame. And I don't really feel like I need to update my opinion on Jay Hobson. I can just ride with that opinion, I guess.
No, you're good.
There is also this that you might assume that, well, if your football team is not playing, then one probably could not enter into a somewhat lucrative deal with anyone, much less with a sports betting concern. But you know what? Out on the range, out on the wild frontier, do things just a little bit different. Things you call rules, we don't even see them. Things you call stop signs, we roll right through them. Up here, in the Flatirons, old prospectors of Colorado, they done did it. They entered into an agreement with a sports book to sell advertising and have what they would call a presence in the Colorado football program. I have questions. Many, many, many questions. Because I don't know if you all know, Colorado's in the Pac-12. They're not playing football right now. It's just not happening.
You want to bet? You want to bet that they're not?
You can't.
You can do so at universityofcolorado.com. I'm assuming that's their website.
I'm
going to check now.
Yeah, do you get like 500 credits in whatever pseudo currency the sports book uses?
I regret to inform you that the University of Colorado does not own universityofcolorado.com.
Well,
yeah, sports book
does.
Oh no, this is a whole thing because
we're
going to
start a casino.
Because you know they abbreviate it like CUB, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is how. First of all, I know they didn't ask the NCAA.
They said they did. They said they did.
No. Why would you? They're not even there.
They said, this is from a USA Today post about this. I think it's the athletic director.
Is he now? Said, or is he the manager?
I wasn't sure.
Is he the pit boss now?
I wasn't sure if it was somebody else at the school. But he said he consulted with the NCAA and the Pac-12 before doing this deal. The immediate next sentence, the NCAA declined to comment on the deal through a spokesman.
They left a message. There's nobody at the headquarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they left a message at the headquarters. Oh, we told you.
Isn't the NCAA, didn't they just lay off like dozens of people?
They did. They furloughed people.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, you know, condolences to those folks. But like the NCAA is very busy, which the NCAA is not accustomed to being, you know. The NCAA just usually just sits around on its hands and does nothing, but they have like a backlog of waivers and a pandemic to figure out how to do nothing about. Like, the NCAA is busy. So, like, if you want to start a casino right now, now's the time, you know. Just, like, say you drove past and waved a sign in the window, and no one said anything about it, so.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made that this is kind of a piece with the Southern Miss situation, which is that if anybody, anywhere, at any institution wants some constant roiling cover to really try some shit, good shit, bad shit, interesting shit, hectic shit, epic shit, terrifying shit, now's the time. Go nuts.
Important to note, the company Colorado is partnering with, PointsBet, originally founded in Australia.
Oh, just like Outback. No, wait, nope, that's not right
nope,
either.
No, you've got it completely
shit. Nope. Founded in my favorite part of Australia, Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa's in Australia.
We've talked about it on the show.
I just wanted to put Tampa in Australia and see how it felt. I'm liking it. Let's see if we can go ahead and switch them up. Can we trade Tampa for, like, what city can we trade Tampa for?
In Australia? I don't know. I've never been.
Canberra?
Sure.
Australian full cast listeners, please tell us what the Tampa of you is.
Does everyone have a Tampa? Like, do people have Tampas?
Oh, yeah.
Like Spencer, your what's your... Well, that's my question. Is it, like, a part of your personality? Is it, like, a trait you have that you wish you didn't? Is it, like, an organ system? I have asthma. Is that my Tampa?
There is a semi-famous play called The Philadelphia by David Ives, where this dude is in, like, an unsurvivable funk, and his friend identifies and immediately is like, oh, you got a Philadelphia.
There's a part of you that's just throwing rocks and batteries at you all the time, man.
What you would love you? This. It's just like a nonstop dragging of the Rust Belt, of different cities in the Rust Belt based on personality disorders. You would
what
love
part
it.
Of is your the, body wants to kill robots?
Is the all of the it. Philadelphia all of is it. Like the Philadelphia is like your Tampa that is just very proud of itself, you know, like that is happy to be a Tampa. That's your Philadelphia.
Right.
Like
Tampa's just even confused as to what it is. You know, I think probably my left brain. My left brain's probably, like, the entire left brain is just Tampa. Doesn't know why it's there. Mm. Right? Kind of happy with itself, even though demonstrably it should not be. That's, you know, kind of maybe occasionally, periodically excited about hockey. I don't know. I think it's probably my entire left brain is my Tampa.
I think my facial hair is my Tampa. Like, unimpressive, won't fully go away. It has to be reckoned with in some way. And every time I try to give it a chance, everyone around me is like, stop it.
Oh, I guess Tampa's my speaking voice. Shit.
This is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
So.
No, I...
Man, I feel terrible.
Yeah, that's your Tampa.
Mm.
That's a bizarre thing, and I really object
to
it.
Yeah, I do kind of suddenly feel like I have food poisoning. Yeah, this is Tampa.
Sorry.
Definitely. Yeah, this is, but PointsBet also, by the way, in entering all of this and saying that they checked with the NCAA, has now, of course, put the University of Colorado's football program, I don't know, maybe in the black? Are they the only Pac-12 team making money? Not for long. Because you know who else, you know who's going to throw down with PointsBet or some other? Now that this gate is open and nobody's returning calls at the NCAA.
Miami is humming.
I wasn't saying.
Or I guess it should be Florida State first, shouldn't it?
No, bro. I was considering a school.
I'm sorry. Where are my manners?
I was seeing Phil Mickelson's eyes ablaze as a graduate of this going, sports betting? In college? Inside of college?
It's more common than you think.
Man, imagine Arizona State Cal esports with Arizona State and Cal having their own sports books. Like,
oh,
this
shit.
This is an internal economy machine. Like, this is going to power America. This is solar, this is wind, this is everything.
What you're describing is like the dystopia that most movies miss, which is where colleges all become self-perpetuating casinos.
I'm not sure it's dystopian at all, because what I was just thinking is, no, this is like awesome. If the stand was good.
Yeah, Ryan, what does dis have to do with this? Change
no,
that dis
right.
to a U, brother.
You're right. I apologize.
Jason, I'm sorry. I just lit up with the concept of the Arizona State wagering team, the varsity wagering team.
Hey, meat judging is a sport.
Just like the gambling decathlon. They're out there with like, all right, yeah, Johnny's working the books. We got Dave over there. He's got the crafts table. It's going to be incredible, y'all.
They're all named Dave.
They're all named Dave.
All these dudes from Arizona have New Jersey accents. I like
instantly.
I like the high school gambler who's like getting scholarship looks. Who's like, yeah, bro, I'm going to earn that LaTeX scholarship. Like,
so
you know.
Wait, are these NCAA regulated events where you are a amateur gambler and therefore you cannot keep the winnings?
No. You see, this is the thing. We consulted with them.
Yeah. No, we consulted with it. We left all kinds of messages.
Just never bring the NCAA back.
Yeah.
They keep finding ways to fix every single college basketball game so that they can't have it. Like, I don't know. It's weird. We had a COVID outbreak at this game again. It's wild. Meanwhile, the wagering team gets to like play their 48th game in a row without the NCAA's input. Yeah.
I think we can we filter the wagering team through like, you know, like just bullshit econ stock market crap. You know, couple years there's some like, oh, here's some new way to make money. It's like betting on the betting on the betting on the betting on the stock market, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, oh, okay, now we have another, yet another collapse.
Now they're a think tank.
No, we need something that has, we need something that's somewhat immune to the rule of the system. We need something like Texas Hold'em, where
I thought
just
you were going to say Texas.
Yeah, Texas, the entire state, immune to reason.
Texas.
Immune to analysis. We need some. Like, we need something like Hold'em or, God, roulette. Can you think of any?
You always come back to that.
But yeah, but like, because it's completely nonsensical. Can you think of anything funnier than the idea of an NCAA champion roulette team? Yeah, guys. Really. Like,
Spencer,
they just know where the ball's going.
Right now, are you feeling like, oh man, I could have been pro. I could have.
No, I'm feeling
this team would be from Florida.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm going to end up being the Bear Bryant of this shit. I'm just going to be over the table. Like, just have a good attitude, man. Think
so
positively.
The literal Bear Bryant.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah, just put the chips out there. You know where they fall. I mean, literally, that's actually how you play the game. Just go ahead, throw them out there. Have a good attitude. Let's roll. And be like, that man does magic. He's never been nothing but a winner.
I always thought let the chips fall where they may was about Puddles eating a bag of Tostitos.
I'm excited for the first academic scandal that befalls a gambling team. We're like, oh
yeah, no. This is where they get kicked off the team because they were helping too many other people with their homework.
You're suspended for 5 blackjack hands
because they were giving impermissible tutoring to like math majors.
Yeah, he tested positive for Monster Black. You can't drink that at the table. It's just too powerful.
That's a good episode.
So glad this happened. Oh, so
why Colorado though? Like,
I know why. I do. I have this is why. What state legalized weed first? What state encouraged actively? Like there were actively encouraged Colorado populace used jury nullification to legalize weed. Not because everybody wanted to get high, but because basically fuck 12. That was it. That like the whole legalization movement was fueled by looking at Colorado and going, these really are the people in South Park. Be like, don't you hate cops? Don't you hate judges? Yeah. Okay, well go in there. Throw out every weed case. You guys can have free weed. That's totally why. Like,
what state welcomed Kyle Orton?
With open arms. What state had Jake Plummer?
That's not the worst argument.
No. What state had Jake Plummer? And they were like, awesome.
And then fondly waved farewell to him as he embarked on a professional handball career.
Yeah, they're like, bro, good move. Good looking on you, right? What state has a history of embracing wild boom and bust cycles quite literally so that it actually has ghost towns up in the mountains that were like towns of 5 and 10,000 during the gold rush era that just disappeared? And they were like, I don't know, man. Easy come, easy go. Just let that town sit there. It's empty. It's cool.
I got a thing. I just enrolled at Arizona State. I got to go.
Yeah, I'm on the wagering team. I got to move. Yeah. That's why Colorado was first in this. Because they don't care. They really don't. You know, like everything Americans claim to be, Coloradans are closest to it. And I mean that also in the sense of, when you're like, yeah, man, screw the cops. Yeah, except for the ones I call when I see someone I don't know on the street. Those cops, those are good. But the ones that I get to tell to go to hell when I smoke one joint in my yard, those are the bad cops. And to hell with them. I'm going to pass a law.
And now I can bet with them on,
and now I can
on University of Colorado property? I don't even understand.
This better mean that like Folsom Field is getting some decent wings. Because if they're a sports book now, gotta have decent wings. Gotta.
Well, they also did the like lottery thing in talking about this, where they're like, "Don't worry, much of this money is going to go to like, our leadership development institute.
It's going to the varsity gambling program. That's where it's going.
It's
gambling
the most,
money never.
That's the most college football thing about this is they're like, "Don't worry. We're taking this. I can see how you might think it's inconsistent of us to call these amateur sports and then sign a deal with a casino. But don't worry, it's all going to the school fund.
Oh, God. Did y'all get that press release today about everything that the college football playoff is doing to thank teachers this month.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's been their that's like been their charity excuse is it's teachers. Like, okay.
This year it feels especially even for the playoff, especially in poor taste.
They should just come out and be like, this money is being taken from like something that generates no utility. And then it is going to be converted into jet skis for the families of the
Alchemy.
Executive of PointsBet. That's
alchemy.
Yeah. How can I change a good 1/8 of someone's paycheck into a new Mercedes for my friend Paul, the accountant at PointsBet? This is how I can do it.
I just had a really depressing thought. Imagine losing your house because you bet too much money on Colorado football.
It's happened.
Has happened. That has happened. But yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, this is the thing too. You're gonna be able to go into that stadium legally. God, the state's pretty cool, y'all. So you're gonna be able to go into that state legally. Go into their football stadium, flagship university. Open up your phone. Gamble on the football game you're watching, while cracked out of your brain on edibles stronger than God's biceps. That's a lot of freedom.
Carl Durrell must think this job rules. Like, since he showed up.
Oh, God, yeah, he got in there just in time.
Since he showed up, like, you're not really doing much. There's no games to play. That's great. No pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably getting, like, a free quarter zip from PointsBet or something. Love that.
Yeah.
Carl Durrell's like, this is the best job in the world.
Probably got you some casino hookup somewhere, too, right?
Yeah, like, sure.
Yeah, you know, nice weekend with the lady, you know, out at a place where, you know, they're like, would you like the prime rib? And you're like, I'm at a casino. Of course I want the prime rib.
I'll take it at the gambling table, please.
Well, where a place where the coach can, but wouldn't, because it'd be bad for image, but it could, where he could, again, just be out there eating half of a THC chocolate bar, gambling like crazy, occasionally texting some 16-year-old 2-star fullback in Boise. You're like, man, my life's awesome. It's incredible. All for what? All for going like just over 500 at UCLA once?
That's it. You're describing like the sleepiest GTA game ever.
It is. Grand Theft Auto Boulder. We got on our Razor scooters.
GTA's Grand Theft Admin.
Hey, this only goes to 1-star. Yeah, man. Never really seen cause for more than that.
That's like, can we call it Grand Theft Autopilot?
Yes.
You've unlocked rollerblades.
It's okay, like every station is 80s vaporwave.
I feel compelled to admit here that when Spencer said, I was laughing, but when Spencer said, you have unlocked rollerblades, I felt a little pang of wistfulness that this is not a real game.
Me too. Like, it'd be mission after mission of pointlessness. It would be like, hey, go to this guy's house. He needs to talk to you. And he'd be like, I forgot what it was. Do you want to play Tony Hawk? And you'd play Tony Hawk inside Grand Theft Boulder, the new one. You know, because you know, you could do the retro thing.
You're onto something.
Yeah. Then you play the Tony Hawk game inside it. And then he's like, I forgot. Can you go get a pizza? Then you got to go get a pizza. Then you go down there and you see your other friend. And he's like, hey, how are you? That's awesome. Later, do you want to come to this show? And you completely forget about your friend with the pizza. You go to the show. See, this is how it works.
Now you're describing a Spider-Man game with no villains.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm Spider-Man in Colorado and it fucking rocks. Nobody
would
knows
be great. No, that would be like the Marvel version of Animal Crossing. That's
it would be
fantastic.
What are you doing? You just end the night. You're like, I don't know, just high as hell. I'm up 500 at the sports book thanks to some hot tips I got from the varsity gambling team.
From Carl Durrell.
Doubles is the coach of the varsity gambling team at Colorado in a triumphant match.
He already had the quarter zip. It was a slam dunk hire.
Man, what an adventure that state is. What fertile ground for the imagination. So you should pay the players too. Just a little thing. You should give the players some of that, because otherwise
at least let the players gamble.
I guarantee some Colorado player is going to get kicked off the team for gambling with the company Colorado's doing business with. It will happen.
It's all right, because you know what he's got then? Job.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the coach told me to bet on myself.
Shit.
What now, Carl? And Carl's like, I don't know. I was thinking about something else. Hey, I'm supposed to get a pizza?
God, we're all learning a lot this year.
I learned something disarming recently. I don't know if we've done this on the show. But if you'll allow me. Podcast business.
Man, goodness. He's been describing you as Dulcet this entire time, and he was selling you short.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was great, man.
I it only occurred to me. I've tried it with Rocky Top, and it works there as well. So, yeah, there's probably going to be a whole universe of Podcast Business songs here pretty soon. Sorry.
Oh man, it doesn't work with Hail to the Victors, which almost feels appropriate.
Yeah, that's right. Podcast Business School is what you'd have to make that.
That business school, the University of Michigan. That's, it's like, oh, you got a good school of business? No, the whole school. It's all of it.
I'm not a business
history
school.
Business.
I'm a business
math
school.
Business.
Yes, we are consistently busy. That is why we call it business.
Right,
What you are talking about is commerce.
And tawdry.
So, podcast business.
Podcast business.
Oh,
that's
we should
right.
do podcast business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit it.
Yeah. I did.
You did.
Homefieldapparel.com.
Dance, puppet.
The latest entry in the, what is, it's not Big Nude Saturday, but.
Big
New.
It's, Big New. Yeah.
Oh, buddy, it's about to be.
It's kind of the opposite of Big Nude
Well,
Saturday,
yeah. It's,
because
it's,
they're selling you clothes.
We are going to be light on
only
Big Nude
top.
Saturday content this season with the first Big Nude Saturday game of the year being postponed, I think. Is it Iowa State Raging Cajuns?
What time is it?
I forget.
Or
which one.
It was either that, or it was like Tulsa, Oklahoma State. One of them.
Yeah, and postponed due to the COVID, as your mom would call it, the COVID.
One,
yeah.
That was a later one. Okay. Every Big 12 game is postponed.
There was
just assume every Big 12 game is or will be postponed, and you'll probably be right.
There was a bit there. Yeah, the Big Nude Saturday one was postponed, but. That means the event of Saturday at noon is Home Field Apparel's unveiling of Auburn merchandise.
God.
Which will undoubtedly challenge Pitt for number one in day one sales at homefieldapparel.com. So Pitt currently number one, Auburn currently unranked. This is the most chaotic thing in all of college football that is even conceivable. You might say, what if Auburn was number one and Pitt was unranked? Well, we know what would happen there. That's a sure thing. That's not chaotic at all.
Hail.
Pitt wins. At homefieldapparel.com, promo code FULLCAST, 20% off, 20% more.
20%
off. More.
I will clarify because there's been some
20%
confusion.
Almost no nudity.
20% off your first order. If you've been sitting and waiting and thinking, like, is it time? Now you can descend with your wielding the power of the FULLCAST promo code. Get 20% off. In theory, and I don't know if this is right or not, but in theory, if you spent $1 million on home field merchandise,
you could try.
You would get a $200,000 discount with this offer code, right?
We're making money for you.
And with $200,000, you take that to the University of Colorado, you talk to Carl Dorrell, you have, boom, you have turned that into $350,000, just like that. And you buy $350,000 worth of Gardner Webb merch.
Yeah.
If you'll remember, Pitt basically was a team from Alabama for a couple of years.
When they were Compass Bowl participants repeatedly?
Yeah, they kept hitting that BBVA Compass Bowl in Birmingham, like, on the reg, like 3 out of 4 years or something, to the point where Pitt players joked about not having to ask for directions when they went to Birmingham.
They're both steel cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just organically. The whole blueprint of the city, it's in their bones already.
There's an appointment for that.
Pitt has never played Auburn. I am learning.
Because Auburn is scared.
Because Auburn is scared. I am learning from Winsipedia here that Pitt is 12-3-2 against SEC opponents all time. And there is only one SEC school that has a winning record over Pitt out of eight schools that have played them. Do any of you know which school that is?
Tennessee.
Incorrect.
No, it's not.
Tennessee is 0-2 against Pitt all time.
Thanks, Spencer.
Tennessee does have a victory in terms of taking Pitt's head coach.
Correct.
That one time. What's wrong with that?
The answer is Ole Miss, apparently.
Huh.
Was it? No, wait, that was in the Compass Bowl, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of that time Florida went to the I'm thinking of Florida going to the Compass Bowl. Never mind.
Yeah, that was when our
that happened.
That was when our running back. I'm sorry. That was a victory one, and two, two. That was when our running back pooped his pants on national television.
He did poop his pants.
Other item of podcast business. After you go to homefieldapparel.com, you can go to patreon.com/mooncrew, where we are going to do the Discord thing. With one amendment to what we have said so far, the ko-fi.com/mooncrew page that will stay up for tips, donations, anything Lord puts on your heart that you'd like to share with us monetarily. If you have become a monthly donor there, we will get you grandparented in and bring you over. Make sure you are in the Discord. I have, in fact, by the time you hear this, I have emailed you about this, Ko-fi monthly donors. Everyone else, Patreon, that'll be your door to our Discord. We'll chat about this and that. We'll try and do whatever fun stuff y'all might want to do. Yeah, let's give that a shot. How about that? That's it. That's the only business that I have for right now.
2020. Let's give that a shot. Like, literally, that's
the, yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to go. With podcast business complete, is there anything else? Anything else on your heart from the last week before we move on to our primary topic tonight?
So we did at mooncrew.substack.com. We, of course, did If the Season Ended Right Now playoff rankings, which in 2020 might actually be of some value. Just wanted to note UAB was our first number one of the year because they are the only team that has beaten a team that has beaten another team. So
fair.
Just quick shout out to UAB.
We have not seen a new top 25 yet, right? Because this is where we will eventually, like, I think the next one we'll see will be the, like, funny Order 66 one where we're like, oh, no, Ohio State and Penn State and Oregon all fallen. And what terrible fate has befallen the Midwestern Jedi?
The Youngtownlings.
Thanos is snapped.
That's amazing.
And I said the name of the town wrong. What a fucking waste.
So in a usual season, even in the like the weird Labor Day week, we usually do a Tuesday top 25. But I guess so few teams have played that it's like, why even bother?
Cowards.
I mean, yeah. Rank UAB number one. You should have, but.
Mm-hmm.
Or BYU.
Yeah, damn.
There's a compelling case for either.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. Eventually that will happen. And it's just going to be funny.
I think as soon as that happens, we start the narrative that, like, oh, wow, Ohio State, they really collapsed. Just couldn't handle the pressure of starting number two, huh?
That's when you can reheat the
not usually a problem.
You can reheat the stupid Clay tweet where you're like, it's September and the Big Ten is out of the playoff race.
He's finally right. He's finally correct.
Shit.
This broken clock is telling me the time, y'all.
That's how fucked up 2020 is. That guy, the wrongest guy of 2020, is right about something. Amazing. Amazing.
He really, like, that really should have happened.
Miracles.
The minute they canceled that. That should have been the move, right? Just retweet yourself on Earth the tweet. Finally right.
Scoreboard, bitches.
That's like, waiting for someone to die and then claiming you got revenge.
There's a lot of that happening this year, too.
Oh, I got a list. It's going to be so good. Did I say that out loud?
God. What?
Really shouldn't.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You never get credit for being meaner than me.
Spencer, just give us a taste. What's one name on the list?
Wow.
Yeah.
We're diving into this.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
No, do it.
Hey, Cerber, you're an accessory now, just so you know.
No, no, no. Ryan's an attorney, so this is all privileged.
That's not how this works.
That is how this works.
That is not. No, you can't just wave a. You can't just wave somebody who went to law school over a situation like he's Febreze legally.
Ryan, what's the point of all that law school if you can't get us out of this fix?
Thank you, Jesus.
Just spray some Ryan on it. It'll be fine. You can say whatever you want.
God, Jason, can we have a civilization?
Jason, I'm going to give you the same answer I give everybody who asks, what's the point of all that law school? I don't fucking know.
Go Violets. Hey,
my child loves arguing. And you're going to law school.
Yeah.
And she's sort of started figuring out that that's a thing she does not want to do. And I've been able to, you know, from you and from others, I've been able to really express that this is a thing you do not want to, you know, I've been able to
picture of this man. Look how sad and pale this man is.
You know, my onion friend, well, when he's not an onion, here's what he looks like.
He's happy, but only when he wears the onion suit. Oh, that sounds great.
It's Sad Dude Saturday.
You're gonna go to law school and become an onion.
But sir, doctor, I am Bloomin' Onion.
Every once in a while, I remember that Ryan's siblings are doctors, like actual doctors.
It's not his fault. The man hates organic chemistry.
Hey, I hate organic chemistry.
I didn't get close to organic. Jesus, come on, man.
Oh, good, good, good. I just wanted to make sure we weren't stabbing too deep. No. You know, sometimes you have to do that thing. It's
who
like that,
are you?
It's like that scene in Scream where you're like, I think you stabbed me a little too deep. So
speaking of education, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a topic we wanted to discuss this evening. Do I have that right?
That is correct. That is correct because a lot of us have kids, and a lot of us have kids at home, and those kids right now are not doing the thing where they disappear from the house for 8 hours a day to go be educated. No, they're right there the whole time, and you have to be there with them for a lot of it.
And fortunately in 2020 adjusted terms, so does the entire rest of the internet. I would like to draw your attention, especially those of you who are, we are all some degree of going through it right now. But I would like to draw your attention, if you want to feel a little camaraderie, to a Twitter thread from late last week by Twitter user MeowDiao, which is a delightful Twitter handle. It belongs to Alexis Diao, who works at the Washington Post. And she has this story to share. Zoom preschool is both hilarious and depressing. My four-year-old keeps unmuting himself and yelling, I don't know your name. Is this meeting over yet? I read this and I have never felt closer to a child until I read this response from Karen Hoskinson. My son called his first kindergarten Zoom meeting a living nightmare while lying face down on the floor.
Perfect.
Have you ever felt so 5 years old and so 50 years old at the same time? Okay, I'm going to throw in one more from this thread that is just a big 2020 mood. My second grade boy made it an hour on his first day yesterday. Walked out and announced, I'm going outside. Can you go sit on the call?
I mean,
It's better
to ask than just
it's
do.
It's also worth a shot.
Yeah. You don't know until you try.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple more children here in this thread who went the rowdier route. This is from user Christiane. My daughter was unmuted in Zoom preschool, and she asked Google to recite the weather while the teacher was talking.
Power. Sheer power.
No, power is this next kid.
Computer, yell over the teacher.
Power is Keith Edwards' second grade son, who, when he gets bored, he just closes the laptop, yells technical issues, and walks away.
It's genius. Perfect. Yes.
These kids are going to be so good at work. They're going to be so fucking good at work.
They are so well prepared for what it is actually like.
We talk about
these kids are
going to
be so good at getting nothing done at all.
People talk about how, like, you know, the American worker works longer hours, has less to show for it. What are we going to do? The answer is we gave all these kids a taste of work at a super early age, and they're going to grow up and end up like getting paid for 40-hour work weeks, but doing like 7 hours worth of work because they just close their computer and yell technical issues. This is how we take it back.
We had one kid literally take it back. Aaron Pepler, further down in this thread, says, my son's second grade class meeting went on for 20 minutes without the teacher, who lost her Wi-Fi signal. My son suggested that everyone show their pets on camera, so they did. Near the end of the call, he said, I'm the teacher now. We also have one instance in this thread of, this has to be a rowdy uncle. We have a rowdy teacher. This is user Steel Snowflake 1. Her name is Josephine. Today, my second grade daughter was on her tablet at 9:30 a.m. I asked why she wasn't on her computer in class. She said the gym teacher got on screen, made us do 10 jumping jacks, and said he'd be back at 10:15.
Yeah, gym teacher's got it figured out, too. Good job.
That's perfect. All right, last one, and then we will turn it over to our own reader submissions. A friend's 4-year-old told her after the second day of Zoom class, this is from user Ashley J. Mel, I don't want to watch that again, Mom.
The show sucks.
I gave it a chance. You said watch one episode, and I would know if I was in or out.
Maybe you and us both.
Ryan, your child is at home doing this, correct?
No, my child is going in person to daycare because this would never work at home.
That's probably a better decision than the one we've made where the kids are doing this, and discovered two things: that the 10-year-old has already figured out the internet. So he's like, yeah, it's cool. I'm just going to look at cool pictures of like anime dogs all day. Okay, good job, kid.
There's a lot worse anime he could be looking at.
It's true.
Like, you'll be thinking, it's anime dogs today, it's anime dongs tomorrow.
Well, he has to. We always have somebody watching him with the computer. We rotate this between a couple of different adults. So somebody's always watching him. It's not like he can just slip that in. So he has to, like, call up anime dog and, like, look over and go, are these anime dogs acceptable? And the adult has to go, yeah. So it's worse because if you're providing oversight, he then wants to go ahead and go, he's a pretty good anime dog, right? And you go, I don't know what a good anime dog is, kid.
So to be clear, every anime dog he sees, an adult also sees.
Yeah.
Correct.
This child is one of those kids who, I have a cat that does this. I have one cat who, you pat the cat on the head, the cat goes off to live its cat life. I have another cat, the full cat, who demands your eye power. Like, you have to be making eye contact with the cat, or the cat will yowl, which is why the cat appears so often on the show. And this is this child. It is not enough for him to be doing what he wants. He has to have your opinion. He demands that you participate.
Validate these dogs.
It is absolutely exhausting.
All I know is now my whole perspective on what I thought was the completely reliable set of internet analytics totally thrown, because now I know that possibly the traffic numbers for anime dogs are undercounted by 50%. If every child who looks at an anime dog is sharing that anime dog in person with at least one, maybe multiple adults, maybe anime dogs are actually pulling more traffic than the New York Times.
Ryan, I'm sorry. We've all just been fired by Viacom.
Shit.
This is like sports bars showing like MMA, you know? Like they they got to pay more because of all the eyeballs. So what we do is we open a sports bar that shows anime dogs.
Anime dog sports bar.
Bring the kids. Bring the whole family.
Wow, we just booked a deal with Colorado. Amazing.
The University of Colorado's School of Anime Dogs.
Guess what? They're no longer the Buffs. They're the Colorado Anime Dogs. The gambling anime dogs.
You can bet on the anime dog racing.
Yeah, I'm going to short some anime dog futures. It's going to be sick. It's going to be sick. We're going to make so much money.
What do we call this establishment? I don't know enough about anime to make a joke.
I'm going to go. I'll think of something.
Ghost in the peanut shells. I'm sorry. Sort of.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So the 7-year-old is the one who does the things like unmuting himself and saying, "This meeting is canceled."
He's really good at that. It's very convincing.
Which he has done, or done things like, "I am going to play Legos." I do not, like, he'll just announce, like, imperially what he is doing.
Sure, yeah.
You do that, Spencer, sometimes. Like, you just announce you're going to play Legos.
No, this is
the kid who would, like, this is the kid who, when he could barely walk, was climbing into the refrigerator to retrieve an entire watermelon. So it's not like you didn't see this coming.
I have appropriated this watermelon. It belongs to me, the Emperor of the Universe. Should someone have comments?
I like this because this is the same logic that, like, the YouTube account that just uploads an entire movie and puts on in the comments.
I don't own,
like,
this.
I don't own this. No fair use. No copyright
infringement intended.
That's right.
Yeah. No infringement intended, I say as I crack open the vault.
And Warner Brothers is like, damn it, he got us. We can't do anything
I'm
now.
Sorry. See, Ryan? I'm sorry, Mr. See, President. Ryan? There's nothing we can do. His Twitter
That's
bio
what
clearly
lawyers
states
are...
that retweets don't equal endorsements.
See, this is lawyering, Ryan. This is
I
what
know.
Lawyers are for.
What I'm hearing is that one of Spencer's sons is a better lawyer than I am.
No, he just tries harder.
That's
you
not
know what?
Saying
it's,
much.
He's more relentless is the problem.
Yeah. Sure. He's not bound by mortal law.
No.
He follows kid law. Kid law is an amoral, violent place.
We have talked about this one on the show before. This is the one who told his teacher when he saw his teacher's photograph of the teacher's deceased grandmother on the desk, walked up and patted the teacher and assured the teacher, "She's probably not a ghost. I think she's just dead."
And he told me the story after school, looking at me, and I said, "Well, I mean, she probably is, you know, just dead."
That's interesting, because I would have assumed that he licked this off the grass, but it was clear that he did not.
I mean...
Fascinating. What,
there's nothing you can say in that situation but nod and go, yeah.
This really... That's how every eulogy should start.
Yeah.
First of all, a kind thought and one to settle the minds of everyone who've come here racked with turmoil, fear, guilt, and the slight terror that Auntie B was, has turned into a ghost. She's not. She's probably just dead. She's probably, just gone forever.
For a good 2/3 of Catholicism.
There's only a 2% chance she's in hell.
And if you want to wager on that, pointsbet.com. is ready when you are. The official paranormal gambling company.
Colorado weed funerals.
Of the University of
Can
Colorado.
Can you add ghosts onto that too?
Can you add ghost betting? That's it. You just get all those South Parkers out in Colorado so like head up about like, aren't you tired of the primacy of the physical world?
Who are you going to call? Ghost
what
betters.
The hell?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Okay, this was just a social headline in the Denver Post. Okay. The actual headline in the Denver Post in this article from 2019 is, "As trends shift, Colorado cemeteries and funeral homes look to inject life into the celebration of death." Mm-hmm. And wait, celebration.
I'm hearing buffet.
The social headline is Colorado funerals, cemeteries put fun into deaths. I think what you wanted there was fun into
funerals. But
the social headline is they put fun into death.
We put fun to death.
Okay. Anyway, this has been Google. That was me screen capping this because it really happened.
So we went and we asked our readers and listeners about what they had experienced. I will tell you, kind of a harrowing collection of stories because I had to filter the funny ones out of here. A lot of y'all going through it. A lot of y'all just wrote in. They're like, this sucks. This is the worst thing I've ever done. A lot of y'all are juggling two laptops. A lot of you are going through high levels of stress, merely trying to pull all of this off, all under the same roof that you're only supposed to really just sleep and wake up under, and maybe, you know, have 2 to 3 hours of casual time and a couple of weekend days. No, being cooped up with your kids and trying to do this all while also trying to work and pull it all off, it's putting a lot of wear and tear on y'all.
It's a very Jetsons time we're living in, where we're like, wow, look at all this technology. None of it works, and we're all miserable.
Yeah, like George Jetson still hates getting up in the morning. Yep. Nothing's changed. You got to put him on a little tube. Got to put him on a slide. Got to have a little robot that pours coffee in his face. Yeah. It sucks.
Except
it sucks.
Now you have to pay to get that robot on Kickstarter.
Yeah. Or you could pay slightly less to get the, the Romanian version, which is terrifying and definitely hasn't killed a couple of people in trials.
That one does have a ghost.
Yeah, no, to be clear, you want the Romanian version because you're getting twice the robot, ghost robot and regular robot, all for $500 less. Doctors hate both of them. But we did actually get some funny ones out of there. But I did want to say, like, for all y'all wrote in and you're just like some people actually said, hey, listen, I just wanted to, this isn't funny. That's like, there are a number of people who just wrote in and they're like, I want everybody to know how not funny this is.
No, trust me. We feel you. We all feel you.
I just need this to be recorded somewhere like a sad audio file in a video game that you stumble upon.
Yeah, I don't even have children. I do have relations virtual schooling in my home because I have the good ass internet. I know y'all. It's bad. It's real bad.
Yeah, it's very bad. It is a challenging time. So, take heart. This is not forever. One day
you don't might know that.
I don't know that. That's true. But one day you might laugh at it. Might. Or you might just fight somebody when it's mentioned. Your eye might twitch forever like this. You might just be stuck cackling in the corner maniacally for the rest of your life. But that probably isn't the case. No. This will probably pass. Like your children. Who will presumably pass the tests.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're going to pass the test because you're going to do
it. But they won't be ghosts.
But they won't be ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, yeah, they probably. Remember, that's where my son left him.
This is not ironclad. This is not a promise.
Mm-hmm. No. He put percentages on it. Like, probably not.
65-35.
It was the hand pat that really did it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the reassurance.
What you find comforting and what I find comforting makes me terrified of you. What do you find comforting? Okay, I wish you'd never told me that. One from, I wanted to start with listener Emin Smith at Gin and Juice on Twitter. Entered a chemistry class Zoom to find a student buck naked and dancing in his room. He had failed to shut off his video. And the professor was panicking. Okay, one, I don't think he failed to shut off that video.
Two, I don't think the professor was panicking.
No, I'll buy that. Like, some professor was like, okay, I got walked through this by somebody in IT. Not super well. I think I have control of this. Oh, God, there's immediately a naked student. Shit.
Yeah, and there's some dick. Just
Spencer, there's a coda on that tweet that you need to read.
I'm going to.
Thank you.
I have never laughed so hard, War Eagle.
All in.
So excited for home field and for Auburn gear coming to home field. that he just let it all hang on the chemistry zoom.
Now this student can dance with a shirt on and no pants.
That's right. He can Winnie the Pooh. He can Winnie the Pooh it.
Winnie the Poohing it all over. You know,
Big
no Pooh
Saturday.
No one can tell if you're Winnie the Poohing it in Zoom class.
And you know who's Winnie the Pooh's best friend? Tigger. That's right.
Wow.
Back to the Tigers.
Oh, shit.
Wow. That's right. It's all part of the plan. This is from Jeff.
Eeyore is Vanderbilt, right?
Eeyore's
not Tennessee?
Owl? No.
Oh, like, no, wait. We're rabbit.
You're
shit.
Rabbit. Yeah, sorry.
All excitable. Oh, my God. Sky's falling.
Fuck.
It's the second quarter, and we're down by 1 point. Bye. Time to go drink in the back of my truck.
I'm going to get the squirt gun back out. I'm going to get the squirt gun.
Surely my child will be more level-headed than me. No, just as hyper. Just as terrified of things. Where do you live? In a hole in the ground! Outdoors!
I'm gonna die.
Go balls!
Not See? For any of the usual reasons.
You wish you were Eeyore now.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
Time Eaten. To go four
tut,
and eight.
Tut. Actually, oh, my God.
Hmm.
Okay, never mind. I just remembered a Tennessee artifact involving Eeyore. If I can find it, I'll post it in the Reddit. I'm not going to mention any more about it now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Spencer, please go ahead.
Yeah. The next one comes from Jeff. Jeff, I'm a teacher. While my students were taking a quiz on Zoom, I was sitting there like a jackass, humming and making farting noises. My mic was on. As you do, because I get that, you know, just
So that's the other good thing about children being subjected to Zoom at this early. A, they'll learn that work is a bunch of garbage that sucks, but they will also, like, any student who's like, I really look up to, like, people at a certain station and I think grown-ups are responsible, they're just going to be like, oh my God, grown-ups are just so stupid and gross. Constantly. All of them. Doesn't matter who they are.
Let's see what my hero's doing off camera. Jeff, I think you did a good thing, man. You're letting people know that it's real out there, and I appreciate it.
I'd also like to drop a piece of wisdom in there for people who are juggling multiple Zoom accounts for perhaps your child and your workplace. When you sign in to two different Zoom organizations for meetings that you have not set, if you have one Zoom account, if you have like a virtual background, that stays the same. That goes with you. That's how I ended up doing 55 minutes of a junior league meeting last week with the photo of the owl sitting crisscross applesauce looming over my head. Because I had also turned off the look at own face thing, which to this day I had thought was the best Zoom trick because you don't need to see what weird faces you're making in meetings. It's distracting.
Secret owl.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, check check your logins. That's just friendly advice.
Relevant to that advice, I'm just going to run one here from Heather, calling an audible. My boss forgot to check his Zoom background, so I learned he loves some hentai.
It starts with anime dogs.
I mean,
okay,
I know
that
it's
was
coming.
Way better, that was way better than mine.
But then you become the boss, so it all works out.
Sorry, Heather. Wait, isn't Heather in the Army?
Probably.
Okay.
I would.
I'm wondering if it's the same Heather. Probably not.
General hentai.
That means if you go high enough, that means the boss is Donald Trump. So he's giving a Zoom with hentai dogs in the background. The State of the Union. That's the State of the Union.
I did that on purpose. The people love
big,
this.
Big, beautiful anime dogs.
Big, beautiful. That's what I would do. Like, if I had the president's ear for 1 second, I wouldn't try to do anything but go, hey, do you know what these rubes really like? You know what they really like, Don? Anime dogs.
Yeah.
Anime. You need to talk nonstop about anime dogs. And everyone in the press corps would be like, is this some kind of coded message? I don't know. I phoned everyone on my Harvard list, and nobody knows what the anime dogs are. So then I did Peloton for an hour and a half. Still couldn't figure it out.
Now, and I've decided this is strategy to distract us from other... That's why he's talking about the anime dogs.
Brilliant.
This is when he became president.
This might be how you get...
Real change
you
in tone.
You get the QAnon brains to just overheat and become normal as soon as he does this. Like, you know, this is too much. We're going back to being normal.
Oh, is that like when you put a heat compress on a back that's flaring up?
Yeah.
No, that's just because I called the White House and said I was Steve Jobs and got through to him.
Listen.
Mr. Jobs, how you doing? Anime dogs. It's the next thing. It's the next iPhone.
He doesn't know who that is. He thinks that Steve Jobs is like the Department of Labor Secretary.
I need more jobs.
Meanwhile, the president is like, some kid told me Steve what probably wasn't a ghost. Looked like he was wrong.
All right, so listen, the president came up, and it's technically one day after Labor Day, which means we can talk about the boat thing, right?
The boat thing.
Oh, you mean one that Lake Lanier didn't eat people who were out there in boats?
Thank you for not soaking.
Wow. There are a lot of results for Lake Lanier boat accident, just so you know.
That's what we've been trying to tell you. Yeah, no, go look at that. Set your Lake Twitter Lanier location to anywhere in Georgia. And just what, like every 2 weeks, as long as the weather is nice, Lake Lanier will trend because it has eaten another person.
Google lists 451,000 results for Lake Lanier boat accident. And obviously there are some duplicates in there, but shit.
For those of you non-Georgians, Lake Lanier is a man-made lake that flooded a town. And in addition to all the regular kinds of dead people, there's cemeteries down there. Anyway, it eats people. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Except it didn't eat anyone this weekend. Lake Travis, however, was not so shy.
Lake Travis went ahead and just ate a bunch of them boaters.
Ate four boats.
It's hungry. Lake Travis, the reason this happened, Lake Travis is, I was educated up on Lake Travis's unique hydrography. It is
by 1,000 giggling hydrologists on Twitter.
Yeah, they're like, oh, ooh, okay, so Lake Travis. I'm like, I didn't ask. So Lake Travis.
No, this was great. I love it when like a niche subject really gets its chance to shine.
Yeah.
And this was like, this was hydrography Twitter's jam.
Yeah, they explained that Lake Travis in Austin is kind of a shallow pan, so it doesn't really take much to get the waves going and popping.
It's like a skillet.
Yeah, filled with a thin layer of water that you really shouldn't, you know, rile up in a boat. You really shouldn't just, you know, gun the engine. You shouldn't be out there in like large numbers causing a lot of waves because like a wave pool.
You should obey posted boating speed limits, which is not something I would ever say, except you really should do that at Lake Travis because otherwise this happens.
Yeah. Things get messy. Four boats end up at the bottom of Lake Travis. That's the punchline. All with a lot of like MAGA signs on them and flags.
I can't stop imagining the ride home for the people whose boats sank. And I think it was Ryan who said the image that has most haunted me since this happened. Just imagine the empty trailer rattling behind your truck the whole way home.
A recrimination with every
all
butthole.
I can think about. Like, and just everybody looking at everybody else in the car trying to decide who's going to be the first one to try to talk to daddy.
Shut up. We're getting great mileage now. You'll notice that.
At least it's insured. Can't insure against stupid, daddy.
Nobody has boat insurance.
Why? what does an insurance agent do when you go in? Hey, I'd like to insure my boat. Sure, buddy. Why don't you just put $5,000 in the middle of that table? We'll light it on fire and laugh. Go right ahead. I have another one. This one is from Rez, and there are a couple like this, and I have experienced a couple of these too because my son has done something similar, though not quite with the same color as Rez's child. In the middle of teaching my first class of the year, high school English, because they're a teacher, when my 9-year-old bursts through the door and yells with an urgency all of us have known, and he types in all caps, "Dad, I clogged the toilet again!" making this sound like might be a boast, might be a plea for help, might be both. This next one is from Philbo Baggins. So my wife teaches fifth grade, and on the first live video sessions, one child was being incredibly distracting to the group by cooking pancakes during the lesson.
That is a king.
Said child was home alone. My wife promptly called his mother, informing her that he was using the stove. Apparently par for the course, his mother did not react nearly as poorly as I would have. This boss of a child then sat and proceeded to eat no fewer than 12 pancakes live on air.
So we've gone from children who are emulating us to children who we should strive to emulate.
You know, you want your you want to raise your children to be self-sufficient, independent people who won't rely on others, who can like set their own course. And if that course leads to eating 12 pancakes during a Zoom call, like, you could have done well. There are far worse outcomes, right?
Yeah, God, you could have raised a waffles kid.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't understand the slander of waffles here. They're fine. Like, who gets like, nobody in this world gets violent about a waffle. Like, ah, the geometry of this offends me. Maybe there's somebody out there who does. Maybe there's an Aaron Aronofsky movie about somebody that waffles just maddened to the point of insanity. But
you know, the most horrifying thing about the fifth grader eating 12 pancakes?
Hmm.
I guarantee you they felt fine. That
oh,
kid,
yeah.
Like
oh,
an
fuck
hour,
you, kid.
Like an hour later, that kid was like, cool, when's dinner?
All right, never mind. Now I'm angry.
What are we doing? I feel fine. I could go swim right now.
I'll go hit that, yeah.
If I ate 12 pancakes at 10 in the morning, you would not see me further. I would call out sick.
I have seen an adult eat 12 pancakes. Exactly 12, actually.
Wait, okay, under what circumstances?
Okay, so this was a fundraiser. Bill Hanstock ate 12 pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
What size pancakes are we talking here?
This was at, like, Denny's, I think.
Denny's.
Yeah.
These are Denny's-sized pancakes, so they're
so
robust.
So serious pancakes, yeah.
Yeah, these are serious big-league pancakes. And Bill, the idea was, you know, they thought, well, we'll sit at Denny's for 24 hours, we'll stream it, and I'll just keep eating pancakes. And
it's the review sketch before review existed.
Right. And he thought he could pull 30. And I thought for like 24 hours, that seemed real reasonable. You know?
I was a little over a pancake an hour, yeah.
Yeah, just like moving, right?
But that
just
doesn't if not that doesn't feel insane.
It's
right?
Not
that
a
doesn't feel like a stunt.
It's not a pace question, it's a space question.
It's a space and insulin response question. Because it wasn't just that they was out of space. He felt ill.
Yeah.
He felt like he was going to die.
Your body will go into shock to stop you from doing this.
Yeah. Because you're not really supposed to put that much sawdust in your stomach. That's that's really what pancakes and waffles mostly are, sawdust.
You are killing us with crusties. Alert.
Sir, I think I know why your kids eat eggs for breakfast.
Yeah. I'm not going to feed him sawdust.
Yeah.
But yeah, this kid ate 12 pancakes and just felt fine.
God, I
felt
had a great, worse man. Joke there, and I course corrected, and I just, ugh.
Thank you.
Crash landed.
Yeah. But yeah, the other thing too, 12 pancakes, there's some spite there. Kid was going to eat 12 anyway if he could, because he's alone, and he's like, freedom! This is amazing! And he doesn't really have to deal with the repercussions of freedom yet. No, he was going to do that anyway. However, eating all 12 on camera is also like a, what are you going to do? Send the Zoom cops after me?
I also
for eating
hope,
pancakes?
I hope this but child also, cleaned the, like, rinse the, clean the bowl, clean the spatula, clean the pan, like, mm-hmm. erased all trace and ate all 12 pancakes, not purely to stunt, but to eliminate any trace that this ever happened.
I, on the spectrum of things he could have gotten up to, while home alone and at school too, this is fairly mild.
Oh, I hope he gets a. I hope he like starts doing like Japanese hibachi tricks.
He's gonna do the volcano.
Sorry to the teacher. Sorry.
That's true. This is the listener's wife that we are making, that we are taking the opposite side of. But I mean, like,
no, I'm not, to be clear. Fuck this kid.
No. Like, come on, if he flipped his shrimp into another Zoom student's mouth through the internet?
Oh, no. You could do like a you could set up a TikTok. Stuff, right?
You could just do the gag where he flips it off camera and all of a sudden somebody off camera in the other end, you know, throws it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do this, please. If anyone, or how's this? If anyone listening to this, if your children are in the car, kids, do this.
Do this. You'll be internet famous.
Kids, don't listen to Uncle Spencer.
Listen to Uncle Spencer, full of good ideas.
Internet famous. It's worth a lot. It's not worth that much money.
No.
This one is from Michael. Had a professor end a Zoom call 45 minutes early because a student refused to stop eating Captain Crunch with his mic on. Professor insisted the student leave the class then, but the kid did not budge, insisting that if he had to be in class, we were going to deal with it.
Wait, this is a college student?
This is young Bartleby.
I would drive to their house and beat the shit out of them.
He has since dropped the class, something that truly disappointed me. Was he just going to keep doing
this? It's college. You don't have to be there, you dum-dum.
You're going to have to deal with it. Just a guy like with the belt sander on during class.
God, this is the guy who said that to so many girlfriends about his homebrew setup in the closet.
Closet's too tidy. I think he just had it in the middle of the room, right? Like, I don't know.
Bathroom,
step around
bathroom.
It.
It's in the shower.
Did
you kick my homebrew? Don't agitate the yeast. It's perfect. Don't make it too hot in there either. It'll mess it up.
Yeah, you can't shower with hot water in there.
Yeah, this is that.
Steam will ruin it.
This is that dude. I also enjoy the professor refusing to deal with this at all.
Powerless. I respect this completely.
Powerless. Like, we're teaching children and college students that the structures around them are all a lie. If you could just make pancakes in the middle of class and eat Captain Crunch and the professor can't do shit, like, all laws are a lie. All society is just like some shit we made up. And you can dance naked on your chemistry Zoom because your teacher's just going to make farting noises while you take a quiz anyway.
War Eagle.
This is why Ryan mentioned that American productivity has been pretty much level for something like 50, 60, 70 years at this point. Because we basically crushed all of the blood out of the stone.
Let's crash that bitch into a mountain.
People, yeah, no, now we're finally going to, yeah, you want it to change? Okay, cool. It's going down.
Yep.
You know why? Because some 8-year-old is like, society's a lie.
The French take long vacations and like go home early to see their kids. We just get naked at work and eat pancakes.
Yeah. These kids have already... Basically, we're going to have an entire generation of children who've advanced to the office space stage of undrilling the screws so they can have a view out of their cubicle. They're already doing that. I'm very proud of them. All of them. They basically skipped like 30 years of personal development.
And Carl Durrell will lead them.
Yeah.
A nation of uncles arises. girls can be uncles too. I'm proof.
I have.
But this is the legion of uncles we're watching be created here.
Yeah, I have one more, which is from @Wilbanks. After a few weeks of chaotic Zoom classes in the spring, things mellowed out with our 9-year-old son. He got calmer, easier to get to his room for the 9 a.m. start. This is where you messed up because you didn't have him out in a central area where you could keep an eye on him. No, you put him in the room. Put him in the room, Will Banks. That's their territory. You're playing on home field, you're going to lose. They've already got a 3-point advantage on you if you're having him work out of the room. And I'm about to bear all that out with the end of the story. That's because he figured out he could take a webcam picture of himself, set it at as his Zoom virtual background, and read graphic novels all day.
Have you not seen Speed? Have you not seen Speed?
So
yeah,
many
that's why I'm mostly offended by this, is because God. These people clearly have not seen Speed.
Just watch Speed.
So many things you can learn from that movie. One, don't trust the tape.
Two, all gaps are ramps.
If you drive across a level
Arizona
gap.
Arizona Wildcats, good football team. Should have considered Arizona State.
Best gambling team and wagering squad in all of NCAA collegiate wagering, Arizona State.